constantly quoting movies that no one ever saw. It's Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, welcome back into Carpenter and Rothman. Matt Hayes, Bobby Carpenter hanging out with us. Time to head to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Talk to ESPN college football analyst Rod Gilmore. Rod, thanks so much for adjusting and making time for us on the fly, sir. How are you?
I'm well, man. Like most folks, trying to adjust with these crazy times and make it all work. How you guys doing? You guys being safe and all?
Yes, sir. We are doing just fine. And before we brought you on, we were talking about the whole Pac-12 situation. And I'm sure by now you've ran across the piece that the players put together on the Players Tribune. Rod, there's a lot to unpack there, and I think these guys are digging in, and I think this is where we are now with college football and college athletics. What jumped out to you from the Players Tribune piece that piqued your interest?
Wow, there's a lot to unpack there. Let me start by asking you, what caught your attention? What were the one or two things that really got you?
Well, for me right now with where we are in the country, I love that these guys are shedding light on the racial justice and trying to help things outside of not just the football world, but things outside of their building and helping black athletes right. And things like that. So for me, that piqued my interest because I think that is the more serious matter at hand with where we are in the world.
Right. I'll say this. I echo that. I applaud these players for coming together, organizing, having concerns greater than themselves. When you look through the list of players who publicly identified themselves, you have a lot of seniors, a lot of juniors, a lot of redshirt seniors, guys who've been in the conference for a long time, who really may not see the benefit of a lot of the things that they're asking for, except for the COVID-19 health and safety testing checks they're talking about. But most of them are doing this for other players, and they're doing it for the conference. So it's not like there are a couple players who are, involved with this to get paid, before they move on and that sort of thing. So I applaud them for that. I think it's also a clear signal that we are in a new day. We've sort of talked about this over the last few weeks, that we've seen a growth in player empowerment, likely sparked in part by the social injustice and systemic racism that's being protested around the country, looking for solutions, and they're a part of that world. And college football has problems on both those fronts, and the players are addressing it. And so I think that's a great thing. I'm proud of them for taking that effort. For a lot of us, when we had concerns back in the day, you dare not say anything because the coach would cut you or bench you or those types of things. So it's a new day for coaches who recognize that they've got to be more flexible, more open, and appreciate and understand these things. So that's sort of my big picture take, my specific look at things that they had to say. I thought the release was a little too broad, too much information in there for the public. I thought that the most critical things to address were the social justice and the COVID-19 testing. This has been kind of out there, and a lot of us have known about this for a few weeks, that players were organizing and they were formulating what they were going to do. So to a lot of us, it's not a surprise that it came out. It's a little bit of a surprise, the scope of it. The problem with the testing is that it's inconsistent throughout the conference. And a lot of players are concerned about that. When you play an opponent and you don't feel confident that they have been tested as well as others, that's a problem. They look at the NBA and see what a great job they've done. They look at Major League Baseball and the NFL and they see those problems. And they're taking a huge health risk. So to me, that's a critical issue, as is the social justice. The other things we've had on the table for a long time to talk about, the one transfer rule, name, image, and likeness, the whole issue of getting a share of revenues, TV revenues. To me, those are things that can be addressed later. The urgent things are the first two that I mentioned. So I thought it was a little bit too broad, confuses the public, mixes the message a little bit, makes it harder to get your point through. And it's harder to keep guys closer together in an organization when you have that many issues initially on the table. And the other thing you do on the other side is administrators, they go right to the dollars. What they see is players trying to reach into my pocket and take money, and I'm short money now anyway, and I see this growth of power it's a slippery slope. How do we stop this? I think that's the way administrators respond to it. How do you guys feel?
No, it's a good point as we talk with ESPN's Rod Gilmore here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. And that's the thing, Rod, like you said, there was a lot of things in there to kind of parcel out. And obviously the two most topical things right now are the COVID testing and then some of the insurance issues that could have health consequences that could be had down the line. Who's going to pay for that? And I know that I think they did this in the Big Ten across, but I know Ohio State does this where they do take care of any ancillary medical costs for long-term issues that you have had while you were playing. The social justice piece, obviously it's very understandable given where we're at and everything that's happened. And it's like you said, those two are right there in everyone's lane. The one thing is the group was asking the Pac-12 to distribute 50% of each sports conference revenue evenly among athletes in their respective sports. When I saw that, Rod, that's the one thing that jumped out to me, because the football players understand that really the only two sports that make significant dollars are football and men's basketball. And so there really would be no revenue to distribute amongst the other sports on the most part. And I guess that's where there's going to be probably some people that push back on this. And you're probably not going to even be aligned with all your athletes, because I don't know about even the Title IX implications of trying to do that, but it would also cripple a lot of Olympic sports outside of football and men's basketball.
Yeah, that's the one that gets the public attention and confuses the message. It's incredibly complicated. And you're right. It may not resonate with all the players who are part or wanted to be part of the group. It certainly gets the attention of the administrators and the public. The public for years has been divided over whether players can receive additional compensation, whether schools should pay them. We're seeing a change in that. We see that by and large, the country is accepting of the name, image, and likeness aspect, where third parties can pay players for endorsements and promoting themselves and the like. But I don't know that the public has bought into the notion that we need to treat college athletics like the pros, where the players get 50%, 40%, 47%, whatever it is, of the revenues generated generally. So they're asking for a new model. Now, the model they're asking for is going to, cause a lot of people some heartache and some heartburn. The current model that is in place, in which football and basketball money is used to provide for non-revenue sports, has been assailed by a lot of players and a lot of writers as being disproportionately bad for black players and players of color, that they generate the money. They're the majority in football and basketball. And in the non-revenue sports, those are predominantly white Olympic sports, where they see their money going to support something else. And that's a choice by the schools. And what they're advocating for is, hey, if those sports are important to you, find a way to support it from your endowment or some other form, private donations, but why should the money that we think we generate not be available for us because you say you have to spend it over there? So they're asking for a change in that model, and that's a complicated thing. Endowments are restricted in some places, but how do you get to that place? And that's why I thought that was an issue that did not need to be included right there. There's plenty of time for that one, and there's going to be a long battle and discussion about that. And COVID-19 is right here and now, has to be addressed. Players need to be comfortable. And social justice, the time is right. You have to deal with that now. So that's my reaction. I mean, I'm not sure everyone views it that way. Reasonable minds can disagree, but I would have had a different approach.
No doubt. Rod, we could talk about this for a very long time since we got you on, ESPN college football analyst Rod Gilmore. I want to ask you about one specific coach in the Pac-12, and Chip Kelly, and where you are with what you're expecting from him now. He's been there for a very short amount of time out there at UCLA. But Chip Kelly, because out here in our neck of the woods, he's kind of out of sight, out of mind, not really doing obviously what he did at Oregon right now. But where are you with Chip Kelly in this whole UCLA process?
I like where Chip's going. I mean, the focus, because it's UCLA, it's in a major media market. There's a lot of heat there, and it's a different thing. But Chip had to do an entire reboot of the program. And I believe last year he had 80, 85 freshmen and sophomores on that program. And if you watch them at the end of the year, they were becoming a pretty good team. So I have higher expectations for UCLA this year. Your question sort of hints at whether Chip has the energy, if he's involved enough and whatnot. I mean, I think he's got great energy. I don't know about the other guys on his staff and how their recruiting is going, but if they can't strike now in recruiting in this period where USC has been vulnerable, then they're going to have a problem. Oregon has come into Southern California and done a bang-up job. Washington is back down there getting key players. So UCLA has to strike in this period, in this next year. If they don't get enough players with USC having issues and not having been back, it's going to be a rough, rough road beyond 2020 if they haven't made their mark yet. So this is a big year for him. He knows it. I think everybody in that program knows it. I like the talent. I like where they are right now. Like I said, those guys who played last year, you know, now they've got 80, 85 juniors and sophomores. So they ought to be ripe for an improved season, assuming we have one.
No question. He's Rod Gilmore, ESPN college football analyst. Rob, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it, and stay safe. And hopefully when we get football soon, we will touch base with you, all right?
Well, hopefully soon we'll be talking about who's going to make the playoffs, the best matchups, who's in the Heisman race, and all that kind of good stuff. But listen, I appreciate you guys and having me on. And just stay safe, and let's get through this, and hopefully we'll have some kind of a season.